The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 1074. It's Wednesday, the 23rd of May, 2018. Oh, by the way, if you want to listen to some high-profile business guests who have been successful in the world of business, talk about their lives, their journey, their experiences, then go to voxmarkets.co.uk/businesslives, our new podcast series. Okay, on today's podcast, I have Neil Carson, CEO, and Graham Heath, CFO of i3 Energy, that's i3e, and these guys discuss their license award in the 30th offshore licensing round, which means their resource base has grown to 80 million barrels of oil. Also on the podcast, Graham Swindell, Chief Executive Officer of Clough Natural Resources, CLNR, and Graham talks about their award in the 30th offshore licensing round, and it doubles, I think, their resource base. Also on the podcast, David Sefton, Executive Chairman of Anglo African Oil and Gas, AAOG, discusses what the £7.4 million they are raising will be used for. Plus, I have, as always, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Neil Carson, CEO, and Graham Heath, CFO of i3 Energy. The ticker there is i3e. Guys, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Hi, Justin. Good morning. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. And I expect you're feeling very good because your stock price is up quite healthily at the moment. Double-digit percentage increase because of the news of the 30th offshore licensing round. And we'll go through the detail of that in a bit, what you've been awarded. Before we do, for people listening right now who are not familiar with i3e, could you summarise what the company's about, please?
Yeah, so we're a UK operator. We have one asset, it's called the Liberator Field. We have filed a field development plan, and that's the thrust of this company, is to get this developed. You know, it's an asset that we bought when back in the oil prices was $30 a barrel, and now we're selling at $80. So we've created, you know, quite a bit of value in that, and it's a big thrust to get this developed.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and the news out today is 30th offshore license round award, and material growth in resource base to 80 million barrels of oil. So that's pretty much the highlights there. But take us through more detail of this, if you could, guys.
Yeah, well, firstly, you know, we're really very thankful to the Oil and Gas Authority, who we know, you know, we work with them, and they work very hard. So they've announced a lot of blocks to be awarded, and we're one of them. We are amongst the peers, you know, and we have bid a well on this block, and we're amongst the peers. So our peers being, you know, BP, Shell, Statoil, and ConocoPhillips. So there's only 8 wells bid, and we're one of them. So we're kind of excited about that. Why do we do that? Well, it's based on the low-risk nature of the opportunity. Back to the 80 million barrels. This is because it's deemed, you know, we've had it independently verified. We did that work before as we made the application. And independently verified is a very, very high chance of success. So for us, today we have 11 million barrels of reserves. We've just added another 22 million barrels of contingent resources. And that's on the basis of the Liberator field being extended from where we are into what we call Liberator West. So we have a phase one for the development field plan filed. We're going to modify that. We're going to optimize that. And we're just delighted to be awarded this block. It's very exciting because we have it on 100% basis. We operate it. And it's a field, it's a trend that has a lot of potential. You know, for companies of our size to have that opportunity of 80 million barrels is just fantastic. And it's where it's very technically underpinned. We've done a lot to show and illustrate this potential and how we plan to develop it. And that's a big thrust in the way we put it to our regulator. And I think that's great that they've accepted this approach and awarded us the block.
Yeah. Now, you in the background, of course, you've got... Well, first of all, let's mention that. I mean, people who are not aware of oil and gas, and the chances of success, it's very low usually, but here you've got an estimated chance of success of 70%. That's very high, isn't it?
It is, and we were quite tactical. I know we bought an asset where we believed would extend, and so we bought part of it and kind of got a foothold in the area. And we're using lots of seismic information and taking a different approach that others haven't taken before. We're able to demonstrate this extension. And it's not based on just, exploration. It's actually based on, moving from your what's discovered. So it is deemed as low risk. So 70% is a very, very high chance of success. And we've got resources here. So, on this award, we've just added another 22 million barrels of resources. So that takes us to a kind of comfortable 33, but with scope to get to 80. And that's what's really exciting here. That's in terms of value. So I think our stock price seems to be going up on a re-rating to because we're amongst our peers for the other operators in the North Sea. And that's really exciting for us.
Yeah, okay. And so what's next here? You're planning an appraisal well a bit later in the year, is that right?
We are, and it's a well that, as we've said, is low risk. It's really such that we can come up with the optimum development for the whole trend. This will lead to a well being drilled in there that we believe is going to be a production well. So what we're doing is we're at the earliest opportunity is really de-risking that portion such that we can get to develop wells in the right place. So we will refile our field development plan, which is included now in this area, because this is the first opportunity that anybody's had a chance to do this. We will do that. We'll work with the field development plan, and we'd like to get a well drilled in Q4 this year. So we're really excited. We believe that's quite doable. And with the award, it's made it very realizable. So that's quite a key role.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's jump back a month because, and I suppose this news today, or you talk about the JVs and funding on the 23rd of March, you give an update there. And I suppose it's very much conditional on this award. But of course, you can't sort of tell us about the detail of this. But how is the JV and funding talks going at the moment?
Yeah, so, Graham Heath here, CFO for the company. Obviously, the announcement today would remove any related hurdles that may have existed inside of our joint venture discussions. I think for us, what it proves up is, Liberator's scale and quality, and the fact that I3 has a 100%, operated ownership in what's now a greatly enlarged field. Is obviously very assisted then in the joint venture discussions that we've been having. And that also applies to, all funding discussions that we've been having previously as well, right? It would assist to underpin those. As we said from the start, Liberator's a low-cost, high-quality, deliverable asset. It's proximal to infrastructure. But with the, with the increased scale, it's pushing up against levels that would certainly warrant standalone solutions in the future as well. So we're thrilled to get the award today.
Yeah, and just going back to that announcement on the 23rd, you said there you're at an advanced stage with multiple industrial partners. So this now, I assume, will take you almost even more advanced. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Those are advanced and continuing to advance, and we would expect to conclude the exploration of those conversations in the nearest terms possible.
Just now that the significant investment, we anticipated that this field could be bigger, and we wanted this area to be awarded such that we can bring those discussions to conclusion and we maximize the shareholder value. That's what we want to do.
Yeah. So essentially, I know people are probably listening thinking, okay, so this news is now, that's landed. So the next bit of news is probably the funny news, but obviously you can't say anything about that, but it's nice to see you've achieved a major milestone, and now probably looking forward to conclude another major milestone. So, and like you said, it's very exciting at the moment as well. When you look at the price of oil, you must be thinking, wow, we did get a good bargain back then, didn't we?
Well, we did, and we're experiencing this re-rating that we think is right. So we're, you know, good reason to buy is, and if you look at our peers, and you can see, you know, per barrel, and towards a future piece of production at a future price, it's really a very good reason to be buying now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go to the final bit of the interview where, you know, I ask you basically if someone's listening right now, likes the sound of this good news, and where you're at, and the signals you're giving here. Give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add you to their watch list, please.
Yeah, I think, you know, the three key reasons today would be that we've, you know, had from the start a great underpinning development asset in Liberator, and now we've added to that a, you know, high impact appraisal opportunity that would see us moving to, you know, an additional reserves base of somewhere between 33 and 80 million barrels, and that we're in advanced funding discussions. And as Neil, you know, just stated, we would expect a re-rating alongside our peer group in aligning our barrels and our future expectations around production and cash flow.
Excellent, guys. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Graham Swindells, Chief Executive Officer of Clough Natural Resources, CLNR. Is the ticker there. Graham, thanks for coming on the podcast.
No problem. Good morning, Justin.
Yes, good bit of news you've had out. You've been awarded quite a bit of acreage there, it seems, licenses in the 30th round. So we'll go into the detail of what you've been awarded in a bit. Before we do, Graham, for people listening right now and they're not quite familiar with the company, can you summarise what you're all about, please?
Sure. Well, Clough Natural Resources is an AIM-quoted natural resources investment company with a particular focus on oil and gas exploration and appraisal in the North Sea. We've currently got 100% interest in two highly prospective gas licenses in the southern North Sea, a world-class gas basin, in our opinion, with a combined P50 prospective resource of approximately 2.4 TCF of gas. And today we've been awarded an additional 10 blocks or part blocks in the southern and central North Sea, which more or less doubles our prospective resource base. And our strategy is to become one of the UK's leading independent oil and gas companies with a focus on creating value through exploration and appraisal.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I looked into your RNS there and I looked down at the table of all the licenses you've been awarded. I thought, that's quite a lot. So you're saying it pretty much doubles your resource size, is it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if you look at that table, the our estimate of the prospective gas resource just on the southern North Sea awards is approximately 1.9 TCF. So when you add that to the 2.4 that we have, that takes us over the 4 TCF level. So yeah, more or less doubling of our prospective resource base.
Yeah, I think something worth pointing out is that in your RNS title there, it did say, now I see quite a few companies releasing today the news about their 30th offshore licensing round, and in your title you had provisional awards. What is it, why is it provisional?
Yes, good question, Justin. We do that simply to reflect the fact that the license is just a formality, that the license agreements still have to be sent out and formally entered into before they effectively become unconditional. But it's really just a process and a formality rather than anything else.
Oh, okay. So you apply for them, they wouldn't do. You have to agree to them, and then it goes back. That's pretty much it. Is that right? Or what?
That's right.
So it's literally it's pretty much a done deal by the sounds, but they've got, yes, this formality that goes around it. Okay, so what's the plans next then, Greg? Because you've got a lot now, a lot of licenses here, like I said, a big resource prospectivity. What are you going to do with them? What's happening? What's the next bit of news expected out?
Yeah, good question. So one of the things we've done is we've put in a significant amount of work in order to make this application, and we're delighted to have been awarded these 10 blocks or part blocks. The probably one of the most interesting aspects and pleasing one for us is that we, in addition to our core acreage and the blocks that we've been awarded in the Southern North Sea, we have also been awarded blocks in the Central North Sea, which obviously have oil prospectivity as well. So as part of this award, it has allowed us to introduce an element of oil into the into our portfolio and hence further enhance and diversify the portfolio. So as far as these awards are concerned, we will once they're formalised, we will start to do further work on data acquisition and processing to allow us to gain a better understanding of these of these blocks and progress them, whilst at the same time continuing with our priority of of securing the investment that we are seeking in order to drill our existing licences.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and as far as a time frame is concerned, you know, any ideas?
Well, certainly as far as the awards that have been made today, that will be an ongoing process. But in terms of the drilling of the existing licenses, as you know, we have been working on the farm out process, mm-hmm. and that process has actually taken us longer than we would have liked. But we have experienced a significant level of interest, an increasing level of interest in those licenses, particularly on the back of enhanced commodity prices and certainly a significantly improved fiscal and regulatory regime in the UK. So we're continuing to work on that process, and that remains our priority in the immediate and near term.
Marvellous stuff. Okay, well, Graham, if someone's listening right now and likes the sound of what you're doing here and these new licenses you've just been awarded, but are not yet following the story, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add you to their watch list, please.
Okay. Well, we have two exceptionally high quality existing licenses with multiple prospects, and this asset base has been further enhanced today with the award of the additional licenses, which takes our estimated resource to over 4 TCF or just over 600 million barrels of oil equivalent. We're located in the Southern North Sea, which is a prolific world-class gas basin in shallow water, close to existing infrastructure and pipelines, and it's now very much a low-cost operating environment. We believe the fundamentals for UK gas exploration are extremely, extremely strong, and we have very strong economics on our prospects on those existing licences, even down to low commodity prices or much lower commodity prices. We own these assets 100%, so we're in a strong position from which to attract partners and drill wells and create value. And we are a very agile, low-cost operator with no debt or onerous work commitments.
Marvellous stuff, Graham. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Likewise. Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is David Sefton, Executive Chairman of Anglo African Oil and Gas. That's AAOG ticker. David, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much.
I think it's been a while. I think I just looked at my folder there. I think last March in 2017 was the last time we spoke, I think, when you first came to market. So listen, for people who are regulars to the podcast but haven't kept up to the company, could you summarise, please, David, what Anglo African Oil and Gas is all about, please?
Sure. Anglo African Oil and Gas is an existing producing oil company with an asset in the Republic of Congo, which is not the Democratic Republic, but the nice one, the other side of the river.
Yeah.
Good croissants. This is an asset which has been in production for about 10 years. And it's an interesting story where we've got really good, well-focused plans for scaling up the existing producing layers, but also some very interesting exploration upside, which I'll talk about in a bit.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, the last bit of news, it's quite big news there. You've conditionally raised $7.4 million, and that's big, isn't it, compared to the market caps. Tell us why you're raising it and what it's going to be used for, please, David.
Well, the principal reason for the raise is that we have a joint venture partner on the field, which is the local state oil company, SNPC. We own 56%. The SNPC owns 44%. When we did the original raise, we raised the money to pay for our share of the drilling, assured that SNPC would pay its share of the costs. They have an option under the contractual arrangements for the field effectively to require us to pay their share, and then we get to recoup it back out of production. And while they're still saying that they will probably pay their share, I have my doubts looking at some of the other things going on. And what is utterly critical to us is this well gets drilled this summer, which means we have to have enough money in place, not just to pay our share, but also to pay SNPC's share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, let's go through the what you know about what you're drilling at the moment and the potential here then, David, if you could.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a very interesting well because it is a multi-target well. It's going to go through three horizons. The first horizon it's going through, it's called R1, R2. That's an horizon for which we're already producing on two other wells. That adds probably 100, 150 barrels a day from that layer. We then go into a second, slightly deeper layer called the Mengo. We have test data from a test well drilled into the Mengo layer, proving that there are producible hydrocarbons. So there's no exploration risk in this layer. That horizon is what has been widely brought into production over the last 5 years in surrounding fields, and generally starts off at about 800 barrels a day and then swiftly declines and stabilizes at 400 to 500 barrels a day. So with no exploration risk, adding on those two layers, bringing those two layers into production in this new well will get us to pretty significant cash flow positive position. And then on top of that, there is a slightly deeper layer still, the Geno. Mm. This is a layer where three of our neighbours, Eni, Soco, New Age, have drilled into this deeper layer, and it's a big oil rim around a gas field, and they're getting oil production on average of about 5,000 barrels per day per well. Mm. Now, this is exploration. We haven't drilled into this layer before, so you can't rely on this or guarantee it, but we think there's a decent chance. If that comes off, that obviously would be completely transformational to the value of this company. But I do add that part of the well is exploration.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like you said, it's always a chance. Who knows? But and what's the timelines? You've got conditional sort of fundraise. When is the general meeting, and when will you know that go ahead? And when is the drilling going on? You say again?
Well, the general meeting's on the 4th of June. So shortly after that general meeting, I think around about the 10th of June, the rig will be shipped across from Gabon. We would expect to be drilling by somewhere around the second week of July. It is a 64-day drill, and we'll update the market as we go through that well, as it goes through the various horizons. People know how it's coming. So, you know, by the middle of September, the well will be complete, testing will be done, and we'll know what the results are. So it's going to be a pretty quick, frenetic summer with plenty of news activity.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as, you know, your costs are concerned, what is the cost of, you know, all-in production costs there?
Well, I mean, our variable costs on producing a barrel of oil are literally a few dollars per barrel. And we run things very lean and mean on the G&A. Two Yorkshiremen at the helm, so we're never going to be spending too much money. We just run it from a sort of clear, focused basis, and this it's all about getting production up.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, David, it's news-rich period coming up, so quite exciting there. But if someone's listening to this and likes the sound of it, but are not yet following the story, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add you to their watch list, please.
Thanks. Well, I think number one is just that this is a very unusual matrix for a small E&P company, in that you've got the really outstanding, interesting exploration upside, but at the same time, it's an existing producer with low risk development and incremental production. So that balance between risk reward is very different from a lot of them. Second one is, again, low costs. We can withstand very low oil costs, and at the same time, the concomitant of that is when the oil price is good like it is today, we've got potential to make a lot of money. And third reason is you brought in really exceptional management. James Berwick, who we brought in from Impact Oil, he has a hell of a track record for developing and delivering assets in West Africa. So I think the company's now got the right management team in place. It's always had the right asset, and we're about to drill.
Marvellous stuff. David, good to chat to you. And like you said, you know, a rich news period ahead. So hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks very much. Cheers. Bye.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are as follows. At five, Ferrum Crescent, FCR. Definitely worth a follow, I believe. Do some research. Tiny market cap, about 3 million, 3.4 million. £1 million in cash or gross. So just under that, develop their asset in Spain. Safe jurisdiction, big asset, tiny company. At four, Cora Gold. Another one I've written a blog on recently. Again, I do like their assets. They've early stage exploration gold, but I've come up with some decent results. And also, check out the shareholder register. Worth doing some research on when you have big money on a small cap register. It's worth looking at. Okay, at three, ARC Minerals, ARCM. Again, a big money person then took some stock in that yesterday. There's a lady, the co-founder of Stagecoach, whose net worth is what, $1.04 billion, according to Wikipedia. At two, the guy who's just been on the podcast, i3 Energy. Definitely worth researching. A massive amount of resources now in the North Sea after that 30th onshore licensing award. Worth checking out. And I think there should be news coming up on funding pretty much soon, because I think this was the last sort of piece of jigsaw, that licensing award they had to put in before they, you know, sort of went further or finalised this their talks on funding. And at number one, it's a company I didn't know much about. I mean, I saw a guy pushing on Twitter yesterday. It's Brave Bison Group, BBSN. Did a massive rise yesterday, but I'll do some research on those. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Great Western Mining, M2 Update. At four, ARC Minerals, Directors Dealing. At three, Motive Bio. Motive Bio notes a statement from Amphion Innovations. At two, Harvest Minerals, issue of performance shares. And number one, most liked RNS, came from the guys I spoke to at the top of the show, i3 Energy. That's the 30th offshore licensing round award. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hear the intriguing stories behind some of the world's best love songs in the FT's Life of a Song podcast. From soul to funk, to punk to jazz, discover how classic songs like Smells Like Teen Spirit, Yesterday, and Stairway to Heaven were born. Search online or listen at ft.com/podcasts. Plus, don't miss the new Life of a Song book, featuring a compilation of 50 songs that have appeared in FT weekend columns. Pick up your copy from Amazon, your local bookshop, or give a gift to someone who'd enjoy this brilliant literary mixtape.